Well, 'tis the Christmas season, and a lot of churches have a lot of big programs and planning that they take care of, and we have our part that we do. One particular church, the children's department was preparing for the Christmas pageant, and of course, you always have to have the Christmas story, right? And this was an annual event, and there was one particular little boy who was bitterly disappointed that he was not picked to be Joseph. Instead, he got a secondary part. He was assigned the innkeeper's part. Well, he wasn't very happy about that, and he began to brood about it, and they went through all their practices, and he just kept thinking to himself, I'm going to get even with that other guy. I'm going to avenge my spot that I was supposed to have. Well, the night of the program came, the performance was going along pretty good, and here comes Joseph and Mary across the stage, and they come to the inn, and Joseph knocks on the door, and the innkeeper cracks the door open and gives him the evil eye. What do you want? And Joseph asks, can you give us board and lodging for the night? Joseph steps back, expecting the anticipated answer. And the little boy on the inside, the innkeeper, he throws open the door. He says, come on in, you can have the best room in the house. Joseph is stunned. What does he do? Well, he's a sharp little guy. And he thinks, just a minute, honey. Let me look inside. He peeks inside and he steps back. I wouldn't take my wife in a place like this. We're going to sleep in the barn. And the play is back on schedule. In spite of the plot of the evil innkeeper. The modern innkeeper. Well, it's kind of fun to watch how children do during the Christmas play and all that. Sometimes you can get some pretty interesting things. When we consider the multitudes of people on earth making all kinds of decisions, all of you make your own decisions, don't you? Careful, guys, how you answer that. For the most part, we all make our own decisions, right? And we make choices. Some people wonder, how in the world could God ever fulfill his plan of revealing so much about a Savior that was coming? We went through, remember last week, a few of the prophecies of the coming Savior. How in the world can God keep all of his promises and all of his word about sending the Savior into this world? Some folks ask how God could announce any kind of a plan at all. But in such questions, these people fail to realize the Almighty is also all-knowing. God knows all things, even things beforehand. He knows every choice that every person will make in his creation. Thus, God is able to act in the right time, in the right place, in the right way, with the right people. The book of Luke begins with God's countdown to life. The right events have occurred. The right time is at hand. The right people are in place to fulfill the plan of God, which has been prepared before creation. The plan that God has revealed through his scripture. And so we come to the book of Luke, and Luke opens up with this grand opening of how God begins that countdown to life. Would you pray with me as we prepare for this? Father, we thank you for your scriptures. We thank you for your word of truth. We thank you for your plan that reaches beyond the comprehension of anything any person can come up with. And in spite of our sin, in spite of our failure, your plan is being fulfilled. We are so thankful that Jesus has come, the Messiah has come. He has completed all of his assignments in redeeming us, in paying the price for our sin, and we anticipate his return in power and glory and majesty to finish the last of the prophecies. We look forward to eternity with you. But Father, as the season comes about, as we reflect upon the coming of Jesus and his birth, Father, help us to see your hand at work, to realize how great and powerful you are, and to realize that you have a desire for each one of us to be a part of your plan as well. Not just us, but the people around us. Guide us in these coming moments, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 5. Luke chapter 1. In God's countdown to life, in his plan to bring about the fulfillment of his prophecies regarding the coming Messiah. Reading verses 5 through 10, we find these words in Luke. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all of the commandments and requirements of the Lord. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both advanced in years. Now it happened that while he was performing his priestly service before God, in the appointed order of his division, according to the custom of the priestly office, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and to burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were in prayer outside at the hour of the incense burning. This first point that I want to deal with is God had prepared for the people and the place. God had prepared for the people and the place. God continued in his plans prepared and presented in ages past. The promises came through the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, then Jacob. And the Israelites were blessed with God's hand upon them through centuries of special intervention and through miracles, even after being subjected to the enemies and exile. God kept his promises. A remnant of the Israelites had returned back to the promised land and were living there, the land of their ancestors, waiting for the coming Messiah. After about 450 years of silence, can you imagine that? 450 years waiting for God to speak to you, and all of a sudden it comes. Totally unexpected, but anticipated. And when it comes, it's a surprise to them. God breaks his silence. He calls to attention the final countdown to the arrival of the Messiah. All of the key figures are in place, the people that God has chosen. God's earthly battle team against sin and the corruption are about to enter basic training. Now, how many of us are ready to do all of God's work? Don't we all need some basic training? And sometimes the basic training that God takes us through is not what we anticipated. Even though the people have handicaps and weaknesses, God uses extraordinary means of getting and keeping his plans on track. Almighty God is not limited by the frailties of men or of women. The age of neither Zacharias nor Elizabeth will hinder God's plan to bring the forerunner of the Messiah. In fact, overcoming these challenges is evidence that God is at work in this plan. Only God could get the job done the way this is going to be done. Anticipation for this long-awaited Messiah was in the air. I asked Brother Robert to read from Daniel this morning. What in the world are we reading from the book of Daniel for? Because God foretold how soon the Messiah would come. Daniel had prophesied of 70 weeks before the Lord would come. This was understood to mean 490 years in prophetic terms, which meant that the period that they were living in, which so happens that King Herod is on the throne, it's time for the Messiah. God said it. It's written in the Scripture. It's time for the Messiah to come. Where is he? Who is he? What will he be like? Three Jewish historians of the time, what we can go back and read, their names are Josephus, Tacitus, and Suetonius. They wrote about the state of the feeling of the prophetic fulfillment during this period. They were expecting the Messiah. And they were writing about it in their historical writings of the time. However, we read in Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, that it had to be fulfilled first. Malachi wrote, inspired by God, "Behold, I am going to send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. He will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, so that I will not come and smite the land with a curse." God says there's a forerunner. Now he names Elijah. Do you remember Elijah? Elijah was swept up into the clouds. He did not suffer death. He was taken away by God. And so the people are watching, waiting for Elijah to come back. Or is it somebody like Elijah? Prophetic terms are kind of ambiguous sometimes. And here we see that Zacharias was chosen by God from all of the thousands of priests throughout the land of Israel. How was he chosen? He was chosen through the casting of lots. Now, this was not luck. This was not accident or chance. God controls the whole universe. He controls all things. And he directed the lot to choose this man to serve in the temple on this day, because something special was about to take place. He only got to serve God in the temple once in his lifetime. There were so many priests that's why they were casting lots, to see who would be privileged to go in for a simple ceremony of filling the oil lamps and making sure they were lit, trim the wicks and so on. And here he is, Zacharias, an old man. He's waited all of his life, and finally the lot falls to him. He has the special privilege of going into the temple to take care of the incense, to burn incense to God. William Barclay reports that there were 24 divisions of priests who took turns serving in the temple. And yet God prepared Zacharias to walk into the temple on this day. God has a plan for every person if they will listen to him. And it was God's plan for Zacharias to walk into the temple this day. Our second point is that God revealed his plan to these participants. God was ready to unveil the promise. Reading verses 11 through 17. "And an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing in the right of the altar of incense. Zacharias was troubled when he saw the angel, and fear gripped him. But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard, and your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son. And you will give him the name John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God. It is he who will give us go as a forerunner before him in the spirit of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So here, God sends his angel, and we will be told in a few moments it's Gabriel, the same angel who gave Daniel the message 490 years earlier. And now he is sent to reveal the next step in the unveiling of God's plan. God's choice of Zacharias and Elizabeth was not random. This couple were righteous. They were dedicated servants of God. Their child would be specially used by God. He would be trained in God's law and prophecy to prepare the way for the Lord. What better parents to have than a priest who was familiar with the law, who knew the word of God, and he would train his son, even in his old age, to prepare the way for the Messiah. The appearance of Gabriel startled and frightened the old priest because no one else was supposed to be in that holy place at this point. He was supposed to be the only person in the room. And all of a sudden, here's Gabriel? Would that startle you? How many of you have been startled by suddenly finding somebody else in a room that you didn't expect anybody? We used to do that as kids, seeing how many times we could scare each other or scare our parents, and sometimes it was not good. And here is Gabriel, all of a sudden appearing to Zacharias. But to his surprise, and suddenly out of nowhere, here's God's angel appeared. Can you imagine? None of the other priests had ever reported anything like this. This was something new. All he had to do was go in and set out some incense and start it burning. Very simple job, right? And then he gets interrupted by an angel. And it's not a quiet angel. He's got a message for him. What? What? Ooh, what? Slow down. Let me get my notebook out. One of the innermost secret requests of Zacharias is revealed. He desired a son. And Gabriel reveals, you know, God's been listening to you. God hears your prayers. God is fully aware of his desire, and he will now fulfill the prayer. God assigned the baby's name as well as the boy's purpose in his ministry. He would be a herald, the announcer that God was coming to walk amongst his people. The entire nation of Israel was to prepare to meet their God. God was coming. Are you ready, Israel, to see your God? So this baby was dedicated to God's work while still in his mother's womb. He was never to drink alcohol, but was to be filled with the Holy Spirit when? While still in the womb. God's Spirit would come upon him, and he would be the prophet of God from birth. He would be there to fulfill the prophecy given by Malachi over four centuries previous. Zacharias was now aware. He has been shown God's plan of divine revelation, which leads us to the third point. God fulfills his plan in spite of disbelief or unwillingness. God always works his plan, whether you believe or don't believe. That doesn't affect God's plan. And disbelief in Zacharias was not going to slow God down. Verses 18 through 25, we read, Zacharias said to the angel, "How will I know this for certain? For I am an old man and my wife is advanced in age." That's a nice way of putting it, right, ladies? The angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you shall be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their proper time. The people were waiting for Zacharias and were wondering at his delay in the temple. But when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple. And he kept making signs to them and remained mute. When the days of his priestly service were ended, he went back home. After these days, Elizabeth, his wife, became pregnant, and she kept herself in seclusion for 5 months, saying, This is the way the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked with favor upon me to take away my disgrace among men. God keeps his word. God works in spite of the reactions of people. God provides our capabilities, and he is with his children when they are too weak to accomplish his plan. Will we obey when God calls us to his work? He calls us to work, doesn't he? And he called Zacharias, hey, I've got a job for you. Quite simple. You're going to have a son. Raise him right. What? Zacharias doubted this divine message. He questioned the arrival of the special guest, the surprise guest. He was old. His wife was old. Why should God use them? What was the guarantee to this promise so with so many odds to overcome? How will I know, angel? Zacharias was disciplined for his failure to believe Gabriel. Imagine his astonishment to lose his voice for 9 months until the announcement of his son's name when he was born. It's interesting that it is Elizabeth who announces John's name. And immediately, Zacharias regains his voice. How did she know his name was to be John? Generally, the child was named after who? The parents, somebody in the family. And here we have the name John introduced. Jerusalem is stirred to alertness when Zacharias returns. The job of tending the temple, I mean, what all is involved? Have you ever set out incense and lit it to get it start burning? I mean, that's time-consuming job, right? Wrong. Shouldn't take very long. What's taking that old man so long in there? And finally, Zacharias comes out through the curtains, and something's wrong with him. He's excited, but he's not saying anything. So everybody who's out there praying realizes something else went on in there that isn't normal. Something special has taken place. He's taken far too long, and now he can't talk. He was talking fine when he went in, and now he can't talk, and he's waving his arms around like crazy. You know, his lips are moving, and nothing comes out. But his arms are going crazy. So the people know something special has taken place, and they surmise that he saw a vision. God has broken his silence to the people. Something special has happened. We've been waiting for God's intervention for all these centuries. And something is about to take place. I wonder what it is. And then the pregnancy of Elizabeth would raise eyebrows, wouldn't it? She's an old woman, and yet she becomes pregnant. Certainly, God is at work. Remember, something happened when Zacharias went in the temple. And now she's expecting. Kind of sounds like the story of Abraham and Sarah, doesn't it? God is at work. Human frailties don't hold God back. The news of God overcoming her barrenness in her old age would be good news not only to her, but to the whole community. Everybody was excited. Don't we all get excited when babies are about ready to be born? Yeah? Some of you have that in your families. News spreads fast when there's a pregnancy. That's good news. And the day of his coming was anticipated. God is the giver of life, and for him to grant this woman and her mute husband a baby after the temple incident was surely a message from God that something special was about to happen. We know that God kept his countdown. God kept his countdown to life, not only with the gift to this old couple, but also in 3 months preparing a virgin girl named what? Mary. With another angelic visit. And then the angel had to go to who? Joseph. Hey, Joseph, it's okay. Calm down, guy. You can take Mary as your wife. This isn't a normal situation. God's involved. Take her with confidence. God will dwell with his people. And God did dwell with his people in the person of Jesus Christ. With perfect timing, God orchestrated a whole sequence of events to occur in the arrival of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ continued to fulfill the plan of God revealed through prophecy. God has plans for life for every one of us, if we will listen to his plans and obey. And it comes through Jesus Christ. God has a countdown for life for each and every one of us. He wants to live with us today. And many of you, most of you, have Christ living in you and with you already. Praise God for that. But the greatest thing that we're looking forward is to what? Eternal life. And someday Jesus is going to come back. And he's going to put an end to all the suffering and corruption of this world. It may be in our lifetime, may not be, maybe another 1,000 years, we don't know. But we have a job to do. Zacharias and Elizabeth had a job, raise this child to be the forerunner. We have a job, share the gospel with people around you. You can't make them accept, but you have the responsibility of sharing the message of hope. I have the message, you have the message. What are we doing with that message? Live for Jesus. Be committed and let God use you. Walk with Jesus in the plan of his countdown for eternal life. Amen. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Father, for the stories that you've preserved for us in the Scripture of how you worked in individual lives. Even through their unbelief, you still worked your plan. Father, I pray that we not be a people of unbelief, but that we be a people who honors and glorifies you all the time, trusting in you, working in your power and your strength, the Spirit that you give to us, and the truths of your Scriptures. Until Jesus comes, let us be your people. We pray for those who have not made a commitment to you, that they would step up, follow through, and serve you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.